Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Text 51551. Drive Time on RTE Radio 1.
Well, what did our medieval Irish ancestors do when they needed medical treatment? Forget paracetamol and aspirin. It was more likely to be goat dung, crushed chickweed, and some crushed mice poultice on the side. Crushed mice poultice would have looked like. Anyway, a lot of this information comes from a book of 16th century cures that were written by a medieval Roscommon medicine man, Conlé MacAnlé. And our next guest studies these ancient medical tomes for a living. What an interesting living you're making, Dr. Siobhan Barrett. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. You're a postdoctoral researcher in the early Irish department of Maynooth University. And thank you very much, as I said, for talking to us about all of this, because you get your lot of information from this 16th century book that was written by this man, Conlé MacAnlé. Can you tell us maybe firstly a little bit about him?
Okay. So, hi. How are you, Sarah? Conlé MacAnlé was physician, and he was one of a family of scribes and physicians, and they were based in the area called Moylurg, which is around Boyle, around Lochee, that area, and they were the physicians to the MacDiarmid the Lord. And so he and his family are responsible for lots of manuscripts that were written. There are about 100 Irish medical manuscripts which are very understudied, and he was one of the scribes of them. So
he has this collection, does he, of about 920 remedies, charms, prayers, and they're arranged in head-to-toe order for how you use them.
Yeah, it's very convenient. So they start with the hair and go all the way down to the feet. And there are chapters. There's about 36 chapters, and they, you know, dealing with various parts of the body and the ailments that might affect them. So the ones that you've been referring to are ones that are specifically used to treat ailments of the hair and the scalp. And the mites you were referring to are mites in the head or the scalp, and probably lice and scabies and things like that.
And sorry, what's the goat dung used for?
The hair.
Is it the hair? Yeah.
It's used to. You crush chickweed with the goat dung, and then you make a poultice with this concoction, and you put it on your head, and it is thought to promote hair growth.
Right.
And I suppose the chickweed, is definitely good for soothing skin problems and itch, and it's well known for that. And I suppose the dung is used to you need something to put the chickweed in, I suppose.
Oh God, and the good thing about it.
Hang on. Do you massage it in? Is that what you're supposed to do?
Well, they don't really give you detailed instructions. You know, they just say put a poultice of this on your head.
And you can just imagine sitting down to dinner and somebody going,
What's that?
My God, your hair looks lovely.
Hopefully they didn't make the dinner in the same saucepan as they boiled up the goat's dung and the chickweed.
Siobhan, they had lots of sort of dung in the various treatments. I mean, there's another hair loss treatment specifically that asks you to crush two plants together, meadow sweet and plantain, and then throw in some sheep's fat and then some sheep's dung and rub it on the scalp.
Yeah.
Does it work? Do we have any evidence, I wonder?
No, I don't think we have.
No.
I mean, but I'm sure if anyone was willing to try, we could have an experiment, a clinical trial. But it's possible that they chose goats and sheep because they are particularly furry and hairy animals. So I suppose maybe they could capture the essence of or the power of hair growth that these animals had, and maybe transfer it onto the scalp. That's one possible explanation.
Do they have any painkillers? Natural painkillers?
Yeah, they would have had. I mean, salicylic acid, which is aspirin, that comes from the willow tree. So you often get remedies where you're asked to use the inner bark of the willow tree, you know, so for fevers and pain, that, you know, so they do have some pain relief. But I mean, I mean, pain is always a thing. It's one of
yeah, they would have been drunk pain. Anyway half the time, wouldn't they?
Well, I don't know. I couldn't say for sure.
They would have been. They were drinking beer at the time, as you drink water now, because the water wasn't clean. Isn't that right?
Yeah, but the beer wouldn't have been as strong, apparently.
Tell that to Gorda.
You know, I'm just reading another bald head. I don't know why they were so obsessed with curing, in inverted commas, bald heads. But this one is awful. So lots of mice were put into a clay vessel. A lid was put on top. The whole lot of them were buried. And then after a year had passed, they opened up the vessel and the contents are applied to the bald head.
Yeah, it sounds pretty nasty, doesn't it? I mean, you would have to be quite desperate, I think, to carry that out. But I wonder, would there be a possibility that by the time the year was over, you bury it and wait for a year? Maybe by the time the year was over, the problem would have resolved itself, or you would have...
If you hadn't grown accustomed... If you didn't get used to your baldness by then, you'd be willing to try anything, I'd say.
Yeah, well, that's true. But well, I mean, no more than the sheep and the goats, like the furriness of the mice. Maybe they were trying to harness that power of furriness, because mice are very furry little creatures.
They are. Not after a year buried in a clay vessel, but they are to start with, for sure. Apologies, by the way, to our listeners who may be preparing or eating dinner, and we maybe should have given a warning.
Anybody who uses cow dung or goat dung for their hair.
Yeah, indeed. Dr. Siobhan Barrett, thank you very much for joining us with that. And you can text us to 51551 if there's anything outside of the normal medicines that we use that you find really works.